Here we go, guys. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the...
Did you mention the...
Yes.
What?
Tomorrow is the 7th birthday of the Shear.
Oh, really?
It was 7
wow.
years ago.
Back at the old book.
April 23rd, 2006, we started the...
Rubber Master.
The Zekin. We had, is that when we had 50 people?
That was yeah. 50 people.
I don't
know, something on Mark for trivia, he said.
For 7 years.
Wow.
So I have to have a special treat tomorrow.
Did you mention some other significance of the day?
Yeah, it's all right. So. Okay, anyway, base. Okay, Rambam Hilkas Macholas Asuris Perkas Aloha Base. We're talking about Gid Hanosha, the sciatic nerve. That we said is we only concern itself with a behema, a chaya, that are tohor, okay? Even if they're nevelis and trephis, even embryos, even things that are whole, sanctified or not sanctified, but both on the right and the left leg, even though Yaakov was only hit on one side, but the prohibition is only on the part that's on the kaf yorech, on the hip of the socket of the hip, that's the round part, that's the problem. And even there, was very specific that only, and there's two parts of the nerves, there's two gidim, the inner one that's closer to the bone that's usher from the Torah, and there's a outer nerve that is prohibited rabbinically, and there's also fats around the gid that are prohibited rabbinically. So now, based on that, we move on to halacha beis. If a person eats from the gid hanosha on the inner side, the place that's sitting on the socket of the hip, so then look, you get lashed because you've transgressed a biblical prohibition. But if you only eat from the fat that's on the gid, omishara gid apnimi, or from the rest of the inner one, which is not the main part, on the ball of the socket. Omina chitzon, from the outer one, since only a rabbinically prohibited, makinoso makas martis. He only gets rabbinic lashes. Vekamashir achila. How much of the gid hanosha have to eat to get lashed? Ksayis, ksayis. That's the shir. But what if, vimachal hagid shalakaf kula? What if you eat the whole nerve that's on the hip socket? The whole one. It's not a kezias of, it's not such a large animal. It's not a smaller nerve. Like it, you still get lashed. Why? It's considered its own creation. In other words, it doesn't have to be something alive. But if it has a name, if you have the whole thing, in other words, you have the whole sciatic nerve, not part of the sciatic nerve, but the whole sciatic nerve, when that's complete, that's called a bryria. And then you'll get lashes, even if you don't have the shear of a kezias.
Can you cut it away after it's cooked?
What?
Can you cut it away after it's cooked? Does that have to be before?
Well, once it's cooked, it's going to absorb into the rest of the meat.
Taste.
The treif taste gets cooked into the meat. That's going to be a problem. Gimel, what if achol kezias migid shel yamin, ukezias migid shel small? What if you get kezias from the gid on the right back leg, and excise from the gid on the left back leg?
Combining, yeah.
No, not combined. Each one separately excise.
Excise from
the gid on the right side, and an additional excise on the gid on the left side.
Right.
Or, oshachos shnei gidim kulim, or you eat two whole gids, one on the right, one on the left side, and either one has a excise of itself. Still like a shmein, you get lashed 80, 2 times 40, because why? You get lashed on each and every gid, and it's a maximum of 2 gids per cow, because it's the back legs. Alright, so that's with cows. Now, is there a good inertia by birds? Dalit. Ha'oif, eibo mishum gid inertia. There's no problem on gid inertia. Why? Mipisha, ain lo kaf yorech. It doesn't have a socket by its hip. Okay, it doesn't have a hip socket. Okay, it's not, even though it has a kind of a hip, but it's not round. So that's Yuayin Achayv. El Yerecha Aruch, but whatever thigh it has, it's more of a long flat one as opposed to a round socket. However, the Ninsa of Sherecha Kiyerek HaBehema Sheshel Kaf, what if you have an unusual bird who his thigh is pretty much like the cow, the animal's thigh, that it's rounded with a hip. then even though it's not a real Gita Anusha, but it looks a little bit like a Gita Anusha. So Gita Anusha Shlo Aser. You can't eat that Gid, but Vein Lokal, if you don't get biblical lashes for that, because Mora has a shaila about that, and they don't know how to render it, so therefore you don't give lashes on something they're not clear about if it's Aser. Now the reverse. V'chein v'heim, what about an animal has an unusual Gid? Shikaf Yerecha Aruch Yishal Aruch. Oh, that its thigh is long, like the bird, and doesn't have a round hip socket. So Gid Anusha Shel Aser, the Gid Anusha is Aser, but Vein Lokal Lav, you don't get lash, since it doesn't have the condition of Kaf Yerech. The Torah says it's the Gid on the Kaf Yerech, on the hip socket that's round. And this doesn't have a round hip socket, you're lacking that, so we won't lash you for it, but it's still prohibited. Now, hey, what if you need a Gid Anusha from unkosher animals or beasts? Potter, you don't have any problems with lashes, because we already said it's only by kosher animals. However, how potter, number one, lefisha ain't anoy behemoth. As we said, the law of Gid Anusha does not conduct itself by animals that are not kosher. But more than this, Ella rather, by behemoth, shekulu muteris, only with an animal that's completely mutter, meaning a kosher animal. The eno, but here's an interesting part. The eno ka'ochel mishar gufa. But it's not like the food, like food like the rest of the body. Meaning to say, you'll see in a second what he means over here. Shein agidim echal basar. A gid is not considered flesh. A nerve is not considered meat. K'moshibar, as we explained earlier in a previous chapter 4. What's going to be the upshot over here? It's going to come out, really, that if you're going to, So if you're going to eat it, you really, I don't think you're even chai for a behemah tameya, if I'm not mistaken. You won't be chai for a behemah tameya even, because it's not even considered meat. Hmm. That's the point. It's not considered the meat of a behemah tameya. You have to eat like real ribs or things like that. The ghee is not considered. That's what he's saying. It's not like eating the rest of the body. But on the other hand, but if you eat the fats that's sitting on the gid, that's already that's like eating the meat of the animal, and now you're chayv eating a not kosher animal. So therefore, although gid doesn't apply at all to not kosher animals, you won't be chayv for gid anusha. More than that, the gid itself is not considered meat at all. You won't be chayv for anything if you eat the gid in a not kosher animal, but the fat that's on the ghee is considered meat. It'll be chai for eating not kosher meat by eating the fat that's on the ghee. Okay. Vav. Ha'oichal ghee hanosha shel nevela shel treva. What if you eat the ghee hanosha of an animal that just died without a proper shechita? It was a kosher animal that just died. Or a treva that it got injured that it won't live out the year. Now, o shel ola, or of an ola. Chayev Stein, you're going to be chayev for two lavim over here. Why? Because each one is adding on. Remember we said, the Gid Anusha only is usher to part of this animal. It was a kosher animal. Remember, we're talking about a kosher animal. We could start by saying, in this kosher animal, while it's walking around, we can already say the Gid is usher. It means one little part of the kosher animal is usher. And we said, what are the exceptions to the rule? You can't add a prohibition upon a prohibition. What's an exception to that rule? Is if the second prohibition adds more to the animal's prohibition in area. So before the animal's treif or nevela, the kosher animal was usher because of the gid. Only one little part was usher. Now, once you shech the animal improperly, or you wound it like that, then the entire animal becomes a nevela. So now we've added, in addition to the gid part, we've added more of the physical animal, and now you get two isur. An isur that increases to more space of the animal, that gets tacked on to the entire animal more. And that's why if you eat the gid of a kosher animal, that's a nevela or trefa, you're going to get two lavim for eating that gid, one for the gid and one for the nevela or the trefa. Vav. And as well for the ola. Same thing. The ola adds another isur for that. Okay, rather zayin. Okay, now, hanotel gid anusha, if you're going to remove the gid anusha, tzarech lechateit acharav, You've got to take it out completely. In other words, you got to make sure every area, even the rabbinic areas, not just the sciatic nerve, not just the inner part of the sciatic nerve, the outer part of it, the fats, the whole area has got to be cleaned out. Now, now we're going to talk about believability of a shochet. V'neman ha-tabach al-gid ha-nosha. The butcher is believed when he sells you the meat to say the gid ha-nosha has been removed. Kishem shenem al-chelev, just like we learned earlier, he's believed to say that the chelev, the unkosher fats, have been removed. V'ein lokim basar mikol tabach. But you don't buy meat from just any old Jewish butcher. Rather, you need elim hayu adam kosher. He has to be a good kosher Jew, as it were. He has to be as kosher as his meat that he sells. For hoslik bekashrus, and we know that for a long time that he's a kosher Jew who shesheichet laatzmo, that he shechts for himself umok, and he sells. V'nevin, he's a believable, trustworthy guy.
Does that apply to any shechting, or is it just with respect to the kid?
Well, the shechet is not necessarily the butcher. Here we're saying he's the butcher and the shechet. So to trust that he's done everything, it's a lot of work to take out the gittanusha properly. It's not easy. So we've got to assume the guy's a God-fearing Jew, and that he knows everything about kashrus and everything. Because if not, then we would want someone else to shecht it, and then he will sell it. In other words, selling is one thing. But taking care of the kashrus animal, shechting it properly, removing the gid and all that, you know, butchers usually don't do that. The butcher just, you know, gets the meat ready to go, and he just sells you the meat. So that's, if just a butcher and just selling meat, well, that's, you know, he's not doing very much. But here, he's the sheikh and all, he's taking care of everything else, and he's got to be a very believable guy for that. Now, Ches says, when, under what circumstances? But Ma'ed Ramurin, why do we need to know he's a very believable guy? But Chutzos, or it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. Because outside of Eretz Yisrael, the Jews get mixed up with the Goyim, and we're afraid that maybe the meat will get, you know, switched. He might buy meat from a Goy. And that's what we need to be believable. Because unfortunately, people in New York found out the hard way. So therefore, that's going to be a problem. When we live in a time where there's only Jews living there, it's Yisrael, we buy from everybody because we're not going to assume that they're going to switch it with treif meat because you're not going to have too much treif meat. Now here's an interesting case. Test. So if you have a butcher who was believed up to this point in time to sell meat, and we assumed he was a very kosher Jew, and lo and behold, we're going past now the laws of Gid HaNoshe.
Right.
We're summarizing many of the laws now. And now you find under his hand, we've caught him red-handed with selling Nevelis or Travis. So what happened? First of all, there's a lot of issues over here. Number one, Machzer Es Adamim. The guy's got to pay back the money. What do you mean by this? Let's say this week he sold, 100 pounds of meat, and he got $500 from different customers. We find at the end of the week, we found there was, treif meat in this thing. So what does he do? He has to pay back the customers. He has to pay back the customers, especially once we know that, that meat that he sold them was treif meat. In other words, whatever we can establish that the meat he sold was treif. So number one, he's a bad guy. But from a monetary point of view, he's got to pay them back the money that they paid.
They're treating up the kitchen and the
well, there's going to be other things. Hang on. We're just starting. But there's more things to come.
That's the least of his.
Let's just start with the basics. So let's say the guy bought $100 worth of meat, and that was a treif animal. So besides that, he gave the guy treif and all that. But he's got to pay him back $100. Now, there is a bit of a chiddush to that. Why? Because, let's put it this way. Wasn't the guy full? Did he need to eat supper again? The guy who bought the treif meat, and he ate, let's assume he ate the treif meat, right? So you figure, well, he enjoyed it, right? He'd have to go to a different store and pay. So you might think maybe you wouldn't have to pay. No, the chiddush is, even if he's eaten it, the commentaries say, you have to pay him back the money. That's number one. Also, now it gets worse. Umeshamtin also, we excommunicate the guy. That means he's a persona non gratis. Umavirna, so we remove him from his profession. Out, you're not going to make a livelihood as being a butcher anymore. Ve'ein lo takana le'olam likach min habasar. And there's no way to correct ever to buy meat from that fellow. He's not going to serve meat in this country anymore. But there is one way out. So he has to go to a city where nobody knows who he is. And he has to show clearly to the Bezin in the new city that he is a very honest fellow. And he has to, a couple of different things can prove how honest he is. But one thing's for sure, he can't shop to this city anymore for obvious reasons. People hate his guts. First of all, you've excommunicated him from people in this city. I mean, would you ever want to buy from a shayfet who they found out was selling treif meat and you know, sold it on to you like that? You know, you want to kill the guy. Definitely not going to want to buy from him. So he can't make a parnasa here. But what's the guy going to do? He has no parnasa. So if he can't, like, he can move out of town. Nobody knows who the guy is. But that's still not enough. We have to know that he's done tshuva and has an integrity. How are we going to find that out? So you have a couple options. Either we need to see that he returns a lost object that was very expensive. Then that shows he's an honest guy, because listen, if you find a very expensive item, you don't have to tell anybody. If he goes to the business, I want you to know, I found a very expensive thing, I don't know what it is, I'm going to look for the guy, and Taka was a true story, he wasn't making it up. And he returned a $10,000 ring, so we know that he's not looking for money anymore, because he gave back a very expensive thing. Or another example. Let's say he was shechting for himself, and v'yotzi treifa v'yatzmo, and now it came out the animal was a treifa. Now that, he didn't do anything negative. Sometimes you check the animal, you check the animal inside, you see it's a treifa. And what did he do? B'mamon chashuv. And it was worth a lot of money, and he's willing to absorb the loss. Which is a prize bull, which is worth thousands of dollars. He shechts it, and he comes to the Bezdin, and he shows it to the Bezdin. I want you to know, this is a treif animal. I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to absorb the loss. Shavara yaseh tshuva. Because then we assume he's certainly a tshuva. Because he, you know, passed tests of financial loss. And he's willing to lose them. However, good old last two words. Below harama, but the Bezin has to be very clear. He didn't do this as faking out frumkeit. Right.
Yeah.
All right? In other words, the circumstance was such, you know, like he didn't know he was going to Bezin, he was just being honest, and we were overhearing his, we know he's not faking us out and making a show. If he legitimately showed that he wasn't concerned for his financial loss in order to do what a Jew's supposed to do, then we know he has done tshuva, and he can still now be a shochet in this other city. But he can no longer be a shochet in this city.
Rabbi, in New York, that situation, did Beit Din get involved with something like that?
I'm sure they did. I'm sure there's no way that guy could ever shechet.
He could afford to pay back that type of money.
Oh, that, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what they did over there. I mean, l'chayre he should, but that would bankrupt him. I don't, this was years. This was like years. I don't know what they did with him at the end. But one thing's very, he ain't shechten anymore, that's for sure.
In this case, if he went to the other city and the Beis Din would see he's doing this, then they would know he had a history.
Yeah, I'm sure the Beis Din loves, he sends a letter to the Beis Din and says, hey, this guy, you know, we're sending a letter and he could.
So why would they want to trust him even though he's done this more than.
Give him a chance to do tshuva. He's another Jew. He is another Jew.
Would never trust him even with the Beis Din.
Yeah, here he doesn't know. Nobody knows him.
Nobody knows
him. No, but if he did the same thing where he was originally
from, nobody would trust him. The
Beis Din might say, okay, he's done tshuva, he's okay now, but people wouldn't buy
from him. Who would it? Would you ever buy from such a guy?
The Beis Din says he's okay again? I mean, restaurants go in and
I think part of the punishment is that you're going to have to leave town. If you know in advance, my friend, that if we catch you with treif meat and you're covering it up, not only are you going to have to pay them back, not only are you going to lose your license, but you can never work here again, that could be a good deterrent for you not to do that. And it's all part of the deterrent. If he knows he can do tshuva, then, you know, he always has a second chance. Here we're saying, that's it, we excommunicate, you're out, you're finished, you're not part of this city anymore, ever again.
Like passing the problem to somewhere else.
No, you're not. You got to understand. The guy just can't walk into another city. Now, let's look what goes on. So let's say the guy gets thrown out. What if he just goes on his own to the new city and says, I'm a sheikh? Say, really? Where'd you get your Kabbalah from? Where'd you get your certificate from? Well, he hasn't got a certificate.
References.
Yeah, references. What are references? Well, I was in Mir for 20 years. Yeah. I mean, he's got to get references. Who can give him references? Only the Bezin that threw him out. So obviously the Bezin will send a letter, said he's a capable sheikh. We found him to be dishonest. So, if you want him to work for you, find out how he's honest, and then he can work again. But it's a pretty stiff fine. I mean, this is like being disbarred, you know, lahavdil, in law. I mean, that's why, you know, you'd think, you know, most lawyers are pretty careful to not do things that are against the law, or accountants, or doctors, because then they could be thrown out, and that's it. Now, I guess if you're disbarred, you know, in Ontario, doesn't mean you can't practice law in Alberta if you get a new license in Alberta, but that's a lot of work to get licensed in a new place, so it's not worth it. So that's kind of the same thing over here. Okay, halacha yud. Halakeach basar. Let's say you buy a piece of meat, and now you're sending it to get delivered. Ushlacho biyarachad mi'amaretz. And you send it through the vehicle of an ignorant Jew. Okay, a Jew who's not a Talmud scholar and that kind of thing. So do we believe, now here's the issue. The issue that we're afraid, was this exchanged for treif meat or something else? And it's going to get us into the sugi of basar shenisalam min ayin, meat that has been hidden from the eye, which we're going to get to in another halacha or two. So the question is, can you trust that when you gave the amaris, was the delivery boy, let's say you call up, and years ago, I remember when I was 16, for a couple of months, I was the delivery boy for Mr. Bosch's kosher meat in Cleveland. You know, I remember twice a week, I'd have, he delivered the meat, and I took his station wagon, and they load up with meat and I deliver it. So I'm 60. That's probably not Moritz. I don't know. Whatever. But you know, the guy sending the kosher meat, I got the kosher meat, but from the butcher to the house, you know, who knows what can happen. So that's the idea over here. So they're saying, I forgot I used to do that. That was a long
memories.
Yeah. Anyway. So he sends it with an Amoritz. Harei zeh emel. He's believed. We trust Amoritz. We don't assume he's going to do anything bad. Let's look at this. Let's say the guy isn't even a kosher Jew. He's not such a kosher Jew. Still, we're not concerned he's going to switch the meat. Why? Because what's it going to help? If he's going to switch, he's going to replace it with another piece of meat. So you're not going to gain any money. He's not going to gain any money. If it's because... No, but they don't seem to indicate this, at least in the times of Gomorrah, that the price is cheaper. All right, so then you know now a goy in the good old days, a goy will do it just to mess up a Jew. Goyim hate Jews. Let's just do it to mess up a Jew. Amoritz doesn't hate Jews; he's just not a from Jew. So what's it? So we could be chayshed Amoritz for being a ganef, but here's what's up to still. You have to still replace it. You're going to replace it with another piece of meat, so you're not really gaining any money. Va'afilu avde Yisrael, even Jewish servants, Evet Kanani, va'masayim, and a female a maid servant Kanani. Now, money there is there. They're believed in this area, although they're not believed in other areas. In other Yisrael, they're not believed. Here, they're believed because again, we don't assume they're going to steal. Avalola goy, but we don't believe a goy did it. If a goy was a delivery man, no. Because then we say Shemayachliv, they have zero believability of goy. In our eyes, in a Jewish court, they have zero believability, and we can assume they would have done anything. And therefore, we'll see that it's gonna come back later, and I think Halacha Yud Beis will finalize that Halachas of Basar Shnei Salmin Ayin that will be coming up shortly.
What about a housekeeper? Do we assume that they're going to?
So so we'll see. We need to learn Halacha Yud Beis that will tell us under what circumstances you don't have to worry. Basically, is you make a siman.
Yeah.
So if you got the meat in the package that says COR, you know, it's very unlikely that the Jewish maid, non-Jewish maid is going to take the meat out, put treif meat and cover it again up with the COR stamp. It's usually not going to happen.
Yeah, but you see they're going to walk through the kitchen while something's on the stove.
Again, you'd have, but what are they going to do? They have to have other meat to switch it with.
No, I mean, there's milk in the fridge.
All right, that's different. Now, here the concern is only that they're going to switch the meat. That's the concern. There was a real story like that. I remember I told you once, no? I forgot who it was with. I cannot remember who it was with. It was a from Yid, was on a plane. And he was next to another Yid was not from. He had the kosher meal. The other guy had not kosher meal. He went to the back of the cat. He opened it up. He said, I have to wash. He goes to the back. He washed. He came back. Asked him, he says, you know, I forgot. His mom is Basher Shinnis Almanai. It wasn't watched. Who knows what happened? Of course, the Yetzer Hara says, come on, what's going to happen? The guy, someone's going to switch in. He says, you know what? He sits down, doesn't eat it. So the guy next to him, who's, I don't know if he was Jewish or not, from or great, I don't remember the deals, he says, how come you're not eating? So he says, well, there's a halacha, such and such and such and such. Eventually the guy next to him admitted that he switched it. I guess that's similar, sometimes the Goyish sandwich, you know, looks almost like the Jewish sandwich, right? He said, I switched it because I wanted to know what kosher tasted like. So you see where it really, in modern 21st century, these things can happen. So you have to be concerned about that. So that's what we're saying. If you send it with an Amoritz, you're okay. A slave, you're okay. But a Goy, you cannot trust.
The Goy doesn't have to be concerned in case suddenly a Jew put kosher in.
You know, if he wants to, he could be concerned.
Okay,
we'll stop over here. It's 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. And we did 9 halachas.